On my way to AP English, I realized that today is the absolutely last day to hand in the Anna Karenina critical essay that was assigned exactly 18 days ago. And suffice it to say that even though Anna, Vronsky, and the oncoming train all made for a pretty good read, I didn't feel like writing about it. So I didn't. I guess that's just the sort of thing that landed me in my counselor's office. And even though Mrs. Gross says I blew my chances at a scholarship, I know there's just no way this school can flunk me. I mean, so what if I've picked up a bad habit of cutting certain classes? They've got an entire folder full of all the good stuff I've done, and they just can't go failing people for a few C's, some random D's, and a perceived lack of involvement. I'm going to go to my English class, make up some excuse for not having my Anna K paper, then just sit there and get through it. Just like I did in Mrs. Gross's office, except for that one unfortunate outburst. Then tonight I'll go home and write that stupid paper. And when I'm done with that, I'll call my dad and ask him to pay for college. After all, he paid my sister's tuition, and it's the least he can do for me since he never pays child support. I'm three steps from the door when M runs up next to me and says, "Cool outfit, Alex." I'm wearing faded old 501 Levi's that I've decorated with paint and rhinestones, and they look just like the ones they sell in trendy boutiques for $200. I've paired them with these 3-inch platform sandals I can barely walk in, a white little boy's tank top, and a vintage pink cashmere cardigan with a capital A embroidered on it. Em and I are totally into clothes. It's a hobby we both take very seriously. "Did you write your paper?" She's peering at me intently, but I don't answer. I don't even look at her. I won't incriminate myself. "Oh my God, you didn't." She grabs my arm. "Jeez, Alex, what are you going to do?" Sometimes I cannot believe that M is my very best friend. I mean, a little support would be nice. I smile at her brightly and push into class in front of her, but all the while I can feel her eyes watching the back of my head, judging me. As I walk into class, I avoid eye contact and sit at my strategically chosen desk. Em and I don't sit next to each other. She likes to sit front row center so she can raise her hand a lot and give correct answers. I prefer to be somewhere in the nether regions of the room, but not too far back. It's not like I want to broadcast my intent to go unnoticed. Everyone around me is nervously shuffling papers and making last-minute requests for the stapler. And when I look around, I realize that none of them will ever be made to suffer the humiliation of a parent-counselor conference because they're the kind of people who do all of their homework and get good grades and care deeply about Tolstoy's use of symbolism. I sit in my wobbly chair, hunch over my desk, and stare at the graffiti etched on it. Someone has carved, "You suck," and I'm wondering if I should take it personally. I don't mean to sound paranoid, but I don't remember it being there yesterday. I rub my index finger over it again and again, as though that will somehow erase it and make it less true. And when I look up, Christine, the collector, is standing right next to my desk. So I just watch her stand there, arms heavy with papers, acting like this little extracurricular activity of hers is going to go on her resume or something. She taps her creepy, pale pink acrylic nail against the stack of papers and says, "We're one paper short." She just stands there waiting. "Yep, we're one paper short." She doesn't even blink. I glance at the headband she's been wearing since she was the hall monitor in fourth grade, and then I look right into her beady, preppy, little eyes, but she's impossible to intimidate, and the only way to get her to leave is to give her something to collect. So I reach into my fake Prada backpack that my sister bought for me in New York and retrieve the short story I worked on all night. It's about a girl who goes to Paris and meets up with an older English businessman. It's titled Hollywood. When I hand it over, she snatches it, scrutinizes my hand-scrawled mess, and smirks. I'm telling you, she's a total bitch. I sit there frozen, just waiting for Mr. Summers to sort through the papers looking for mine. But instead, he leaves them in a haphazard pile on the upper right-hand corner of his desk, puts on a Mozart CD, and begins a discussion about existentialism. M eagerly raises her hand, and I relax and sit up a little bit straighter, knowing I'm off the hook today. But tonight, he will go home, put on his slippers, and start grading papers. By tomorrow, he'll know. What was that I saw you hand in? M gives me a suspicious look. Don't tell me you actually turned in one of your Richard Branson fantasy stories instead of your Tolstoy paper. Okay, I won't tell you. We're walking toward the student parking lot. How long do you think you can get away with this? She looks at me, her face full of concern, mouth twisted with disapproval. I lean against her car, give her a bored look, and say, at least until tomorrow. You're out of control. She shakes her head and opens the car door. You working tonight? I think about how I promised myself I would go home and write my paper and call my dad and start planning for my future. But for some reason, I just shake my head and smile for the first time in 2 hours. Good. Let's go into the city. We get in the little red BMW Z3 convertible that her parents gave her on her 16th birthday. Tan leather interior, marbled wood dash, shiny spoke wheels. I covet this car, but I don't resent her for it. We put the top down, crank the stereo, and put on our faux Gucci sunglasses. Okay, M's are real. And head for LA.